Rose is your name, but when you poop, it sure don't smell like roses. You're number two, burns the hair in my nose. But we fought hand in paw, now your poop don't stink at all. Now that the air is clear, I'll treasure your front and rear, my sweet rose.
Instantly neutralize poop stink with Poop Fighter from World's Best Cat Litter for the world's best cat.
This podcast is in no way affiliated with the Stars production or Diana Gabaldon. All views expressed are solely our own. Welcome to the Outlander podcast,
where the men are kilted, the women are winsome,
and the whiskey is neat. Welcome to episode 309 of the Outlander podcast. I'm Ginger.
And I'm Summer, and we are in love with all things Outlander.
So we went ahead and made the leap. And by that, I mean, even though I thought took the quick for now, not way out, but way forward as far as the episode numberings, now we are even with Apple. Or Apple Podcasts. And even though it's not as many people asking us, we did get someone ask us, wait, I'm missing episode 308. No, 307. Sorry. Anyway, don't worry. I'll leave this in for now. We're fine. There is nothing missing. There was a numbering change on Apple's part, an update about a year ago or less. And we split an episode, but kept the number, like A and B, that kind of, or part one, part two, back like 4 years ago or more. So yeah, so it's going to be the way it is until or unless we get like a huge hiatus and I have time to go back. So anyway, we're going forward. So 309, I'm Ginger, she's Summer. Now before we go on with this episode's read along, the reason we were gone last week is because we were in Atlanta attending the first ever She Podcasts Live conference for podcasters. It's a podcasting conference. And it was my fourth or fifth-ish, and it was Summer's first. And she, I think, had a decent time.
It was all right.
It was all right. But the reason I'm going through all of this is because one of the things that they had, one of the sponsors, was named Buzzsprout. And I've seen this at other conferences I've been to. I think it was Buzzsprout there as well, is that, you know how you go to a conference, whether it's for work or for play or for whatever your jam is, and there are, you know, all kinds of vendors, right? They want to sell you something. They want to give out free tchotchkes information in hopes that they will get a customer. Well, one of the things that this vendor did, I believe they're a podcast host. Mm-hmm. One of the things that they did was offer, they brought, they schlepped, they set up, they had a recording booth there, like in the middle of the floor. And so with windows and all the mics, and it was really cool. And so we got the email like maybe 2 weeks ago, week and a half ago, whatever, weeks ago. And I saw it and like, I went ahead and opened it and clicked through to see like, oh, you know, just for giggles, what's available. There were literally like 4 spots on Friday, 1 on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. You guys, the email literally had been sent out minutes before. So I'm like, oh, well, we can always get out of it. Or if someone doesn't want to do it, I can always find someone else or just bore you guys with just me. But if we don't go for it now, we're likely not going to. It's going to go. Like, they're already gone. So I went ahead and grabbed a spot thinking, well, we'll see what it is. Or we'll see what she wants to do. So fast forward to about a week later, we get there. It's Friday. It's our time. We go in. And Summer's like, sure, okay. And it actually worked out really well because it was before we did our 30-minute live in our Facebook group talking about the season 5 teaser trailer. So Summer and I, we hadn't talked before this point. We decided to use that 20 minutes to do like a brain dump from our first viewings, or 7, of the season 5 teaser trailer. Now, Summer, is there... Oh, so the reason I'm giving you all this background and introductory stuff is because we don't hold back. There likely will be spoilers as far as season 5 because, you know, book 5. So if you've already read it, great. Or you don't care about spoilers, great. Otherwise, fast forward a little bit more. And it, again, it's 20 minutes. It's not that much. So fast forward 20 minutes from about here and you should be clear. Anything you want to say, Sam, before we drop it in?
If you think the sound quality is better than what you normally get from us, sorry, we're also feeling envy about it. It was an awesome setup. We also want all those things.
Yeah, it was cool. Okay, so without further ado, our first take, leave it all out there on the season 5 teaser trailer of Outlander.
Okay, this is, I think, Ginger. And?
And Shimmer.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not my name anymore. Summer.
Shimmer. No, it's Shimmer. Shimmer okay. And Toots.
Shimmer and Toots.
This is Toots and Shimmer. And we are, where are we, Sam?
We are coming to you
Shim.
Live.
Where are we, Shim?
Well, it's live. It's always live when we record. But we're coming to you live from She Podcast Live, the first inaugural, is it a session or a?
Well, the first She Podcasts Live conference, correct?
Yes. And they have this really fancy booth and people can look at you like you're in a fishbowl.
And so much, as they just did,
that we were able to book a 20-minute period with to record something live. So we have brainstormed and, well, once we got the slot, it was, well, what are we going to talk about? What do we need to use the booth
get
time?
Get the slot and the slot. Yeah, well, that's so bad. Get the slot and you'll figure out what the content will
exactly.
be closer to it.
Right. So, and then we remembered, well,
we dropped the ball and that
we were going to have our live video of us discussing a certain season 5 teaser trailer that came out recently. And then when we were so jet lagged that didn't happen yesterday, we thought.
And what happened when we were jet lagged? What did you do?
I took pictures of you sleeping.
No, after that, after you left. After.
I went.
She did not take pictures, by the way. So after you left, what happened? What did you do?
I went to lunch. I don't know. I don't know where you're trying to lead me.
You went to Abby's.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do all afternoon? Did you rest? Did you go play? Did you go to a party? What did you do until evening? You rested. You slept. You napped.
No, I did none of those things.
That's why I'm asking you. What did you do?
We went to lunch.
Okay, so you guys kind of hung. You hung.
Yeah.
You okay? So Summer, after we got there and kind of, you know, relaxed a little bit, checked in, had breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
Summer, we spent some time with a friend, and then Summer left to go spend some time with her local mutual friend.
I know too many people in Atlanta,
she knows,
y'all.
Because we're in Atlanta, by the way, and she used to live here. So she went to go spend time with another friend here in Atlanta, and they went to lunch and hung out. And what Ginger did almost all afternoon until about 5 o'clock. Ish, mm-hmm. 4:30, 5 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
I slept in spurts of like 15 to 30 minutes. Our friend said, you would text me like, "Hey, are you doing it?" I'm like, "Hey, great, I'll be right down." I fall asleep, and then a little bit later, I'd text her again, and da da da. Then I'd fall asleep. So Ginger spent a lot of time napping.
So because we napped through the time when we were going to tell
exactly.
you have our little video about the new trailer for season 5, I suggested and we both decided that this would probably be the best use of our booth time here at She Podcast Live.
It is the Buzzsprout booth, so thank you so much,
Buzzsprout. Not
thank
bud.
You not bud, that's something different. Buzzsprout.
It's not legal here, Ginger.
Wait.
In Georgia.
Oh, that's right. Sorry, we're not in California.
No bud.
We're not in California anymore.
It's not bud.
NTM. So, as Summer just said, we're here to not really break it down. We still want to do that with y'all in the group. Outlanderpod.com/group. And we will do that soon-ish. But we thought we would chat about our first thoughts.
Because we haven't discussed it with each other yet.
No, we have not.
No, we like to keep it live.
So, let's go.
First impressions. Okay. First impressions
of the whole general, right?
Of the whole overall the arc is that I just can't get over how bleeping beautiful the cinematography is. It's always exceptional, but for whatever reason, the coloring, the camera angles and everything they've chosen to show us in this trailer is just so beautiful.
I think that is something that book readers, show watchers, it doesn't matter who you are. If you're watching the show in any capacity, that is one thing that everyone agrees on that mm-hmm. never disappoints, because it, you know, you're not based on they left this character out or they left this mm-hmm. part of the story out, right? Whether it's, well, how's it like, whether it's Scotland or the New World, well, technically it's all Scotland, unless it's green screen.
Mm-hmm.
Unless it's green screen. But yeah, it has never, ever been anything but absolutely gorgeous as far as the landscape.
But
nothing.
But can we talk about how much sun Like,
there was a good amount of sun.
I don't know how they got that much sun. Look back at every other season. Hold on. Everything's been overcast.
They must have been recording. They must have been filming when we were there.
Maybe.
Slash you were there.
After we were there.
Because we always, summer, because we're named, hello. Mm-hmm. But we always bring the sun when we travel, apparently.
Except for Pot Abroad. This year's Pot Abroad was very cold.
Interesting. We brought
cold
the
and
snow.
Wet. We did bring the snow.
Or the snow back.
We did bring the snow.
But so yeah, beautiful.
But I've never, and that's the other thought that I had. Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't remember ever seeing that much sun on the show.
Yeah.
But, which just added to just how, God, how beautiful everything looked. So Ginger, I see you've taken some notes.
But to mirror what you said or to give my general overview opinion, This is not really substantive because I think most people say this about any, especially the teaser trailers where we're not, okay, number one, it moves, everything moves fast, but it moves so fast that I'm just like, I almost want to give up. Because, I mean, I see pretty things, I see pretty atmospheres, I see sun, I see pretty characters, I see really good wigs, thank you, stars. I see a lot of beautiful, beautiful things and things I recognize right away from the book. But it's so fast. I know you have to hit pause and everything.
Dude, and
it's hard.
I would try to pause it to try to figure some
things
out.
And you would miss it.
And I couldn't tell what I was looking at.
No.
But I imagine if I was at a computer and not using my phone, I could have done better pausing. But I did watch it like 16 times.
Yeah, she beat me. I watched it probably 3 times. Also, like, you know, all the way through and then pausing it twice or 3 times to take notes. And these are not the in-depth notes that we would usually do for a full, like, 3 to 4 minute trailer or whatever.
Yeah, this was a minute.
A minute and 10 seconds and like easily 10 seconds or more of that was
the date at the
outro.
End, yeah.
Okay, so I took very basic notes and this is going to be interesting because Summer and I typically, although we have talked about things on the show, our show all the time, whenever we do like trailer breakdowns or discussions or trailer or teasers, whatever, it's almost always in our Facebook group as a live because it makes it interactive because I promise you, and we're going to talk about it here, and I promise you other stuff I missed. Or a lot of it is just, you can't tell what it is. This is the first time that I remember us discussing something without kind of the interaction that I remember. Maybe early days we did. Who knows?
I'll interact with you. You're welcome.
There. Remember, we're sisters. Keep it kosher.
Wow.
So, okay. It opens and there's, I wrote, I know it's not this because, first of all, it's not in the book. Although, what does that mean? Not much. But it's also too early in the storyline, in the Colonial America storyline. But I think it opens up with a horse, a rider on a horse, and riding away from the camera. And the first thing it made me think of was Paul Revere, right?
Okay.
Which is a whole other side to it, which General Hopper.
We're not there yet.
That's what I'm saying. So I saw a horse rider. And then, okay, this is, I don't know if I did everything. I think I watched it all the way going through, pausing it without, you know, like trying to see intricate things. Just real quick. So there's a horse rider. I'm having a great time today. A horse rider. Kate, or I should use that for the character name. So Claire is hugging someone whom we can't see. Brianna, we'd see looking concerned. Jamie looking worried or concerned.
Did you see what might or might not be the big house?
We'll get there. And then I can't read this.
Why would I know what
that
is?
Hold on. Bewigged.
Oh.
Try getting that out. Not going to happen. Bewigged, ragged Roger. Hugging Bree. Looking worried. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. So that was like the first thing. Okay. And then, is there anything that I just talked about that you had any thoughts of?
I just kept looking at the big house in the background.
Toward the end?
No, it was all throughout. If you look in the back, just in the back of like almost everything, they were on the porch at one point. They were crossing the field towards it. I mean, it looked like an unfinished house because it wasn't painted. It just looked like rough wood. So I saw that and I just kept thinking, is that the big house? Is that the big house? And because I saw it so many times in the course of this 1 minute trailer that to me, it has to be the big house.
So I did see something. I didn't know that it was the same thing like earlier or whatever, but I saw something enough to tell me that it wasn't the big house. And that is something that was painted white and blue. And there were lots of like people around it, and there was like either flames or open flames and fire, but that there was like crowds around.
Mm-hmm.
That I don't even think that was necessarily. I don't think it was River Run. No, I think it was in a town. And the reason I think that is because you saw like this blue. What I remember, this blue and white structure,
mm-hmm.
and then right next to it, like literally part of the same bones of the same thing. Think of like row houses.
Yeah,
everything's attached.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't the big house because they were in a town.
So that's what
I was thinking at the first thing. But the big house I did see at the end, I think.
Well, when you go back and watch it again, you'll see it multiple times. I did find there was a lot of like shots that they included, and considering it was only a minute long, included shots that literally I had no context with. Anything that you might think would be like, there was a really beautiful shot of just horses, their heads as they ran.
And I was like,
it was beautiful, but I was also like, why?
Exactly.
Why?
So someone screams, help. And then we see Brianna running. I believe it's Brianna. Cause we see like her bright kind of reddish hair.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, Brianna's running. Did you see what Brianna was holding when she was running after? It may not have been the same thing because we know they put things together that aren't together. But Brianna is running with something in her hand. Did you see that?
I don't know. Tell me.
It looked like her sketchbook.
So
she may, girl may be getting commission.
Who urgently runs with a sketchbook?
If you got one in your hand and it's going to make you money, you don't drop it when someone calls help.
But calls for help. Oh, okay. I get it now. You made it sound like she was like,
a teeny thing?
It's a sketching emergency.
Oh, no. No, you dork. It's like that big. I think she was actually working.
And then she heard okay.
You're a nut. Okay. And then we saw a nice thing. And I know it's 18th century. It's not going to be with Franck. But we see Bree shooting.
Okay. Yes, we did. And then Roger also shooting. And it,
Jamie?
Because, no, it was Roger and Bree shooting.
Okay.
That scene. And it looked
she's teaching it.
But it looked like Roger's aim was not so great because after his shot, he looked a little disappointed.
Can we spoil
and
this?
She looked much more successful.
Can we spoil that?
He's
not a good shot.
He's not a good shot. But since we don't have a ton of time, I do want to ask you a question.
Okay.
Okay. So do you remember most of the thing is scored with Claire speaking over the top
Theo,
of it?
Yeah.
However, there's one section in the middle where a man is being pulled, drug out of a house, and he's like, ah. And I kept trying so desperately to pause it to see who that man was because I'm almost positive that it's the same dude that they showed dead on a bed with a woman over him.
Maybe.
So I don't know if he's being pulled out of the house.
And there was also someone, I don't think it was him, but there was also someone or a red coat being burned in effigy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was like a doll, like a red coat.
Okay.
But I'm positive that a lot of that had to do with regulator stuff because that was also interspersed
with this whole season.
Yeah. Interspersed with Myrta.
Yeah.
Appearances.
Myrta Duncan.
Yeah. Myrta Duncan.
Merduncan. That sounds too much like Turducken.
Durta.
I like Merduncan better. Merduncan. Okay, but someone screams help, so there is another voice in there. Shooting. And then Claire saying, to whom we can only guess, I hope you don't stay.
They're teasing us a lot.
Brianna.
Yeah, I'm like, there's exactly who she's talking to. So, and then that's followed by Brianna talking to Roger.
And saying,
this is our family here.
No, she's saying, you want to go, don't you? And she's like, all our family's here. And she's not wrong. He doesn't have any family in the future either.
That's true. So then there are people surrounding a house.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fire, but people surrounding a house like a, not pitchforks, you know what I mean?
Like a lynch mob.
Kind of.
And like then, an unruly mob.
And although this is going to, all this talk in what they give us, like the Claire voiceover, all this talk of going back and this and da-da-da-da. But, it makes me think, since we don't know how much they might be bringing of book six forward, bringing it back, whatever.
There's not room to bring much more back. This is a really long book,
but it's only like 12 days. About certain fires happening in this season.
Okay.
So my point is talking about going back and the whole thing, the potential fire, that makes me think, and this whole talk about going back, I'm like, oh my God, is there going to be no Mandy?
No. Oh, my God. Spoiler.
Summer, I told you.
I didn't expect you to jump. That wasn't the spoiler I expected.
It's a spoiler. Okay. So I just throw that out there.
It's too early.
Gem is too small. We have time.
I know.
Hold on. Prep. Someone said prepare for battle.
Yeah.
I don't know who it was, but.
And then they had, did you see all of the camps, the encampments?
Yes. Like a, from above.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just.
It's very war-y.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not Brownsville.
No,
that's not Brownsville. That's straight up the war regulation. I mean, that's the big battle at the end of the book.
Mm. Well, we haven't gotten there. It's been a while.
Where something goes down. There's one thing I will not spoil, and that is the.
No, of course not.
I just said.
I mean,
I'll let Amanda go, but not a. This.
Right. Should I tell you all what motion she just made?
No, Summer. No. Are you kidding? Stop. Okay. Blah blah blah. Oh. I saw that they're kind of going around a little bit, almost like they're going around a house.
Mm-hmm.
Not the one you're talking about, I don't think. It was kind of like semi-light, semi-dark. I think that was the Beardsleys.
Could be.
I
don't know.
And then someone says near the end, it's time.
It is time.
I mean, they didn't whisper like I did. But
what is it time for?
That's the thing.
It's time for February 16th to be here so we can finish our speculation.
My goodness.
Or it's time for a longer trailer.
And also, okay, I did make a note at the bottom. Big house is big.
It is big. It was bigger than I anticipated. Like, you know it's a big house. They call it the big house.
Uh-huh.
But I did not anticipate it being quite that big.
So I wonder if it's going to be the same cabin as last year plus more? Or is it
going to make
a second big... Because what they did last year,
mm-hmm.
at least according to the book, is...
The original cabin.
That cabin, yeah. Exactly. And then they build the big house once...
Yeah, they can't replace the cabin because Roger and Bree move into the cabin. So they have to add more. So
yeah. So that's kind of, is there anything else? I mean, that was like the quickest rundown with like our best thoughts about what we saw, what we think we saw, what we think we heard. And we do want to hear from you guys. So let us know what you think. You can email us at outlanderpod.com. No, hello at outlanderpod.com. You can connect with us on Facebook at outlanderpod.com/group. Let us know. There's going to be a post on there about the trailer. Please let us know what you thought. Tell us if we're wrong. Tell us what we missed.
I'm sure we missed a lot.
So many people in this fandom have such keen eyes and like completely we miss things every single time. So in the last few minutes
Bree accusing Claire of playing God. Are we playing God?
I mean, I didn't write down every single line.
Oh, I know. I'm just thinking that was another thing. So, and that was obviously right before a surgery. So maybe she's doing surgery on somebody famous if they don't make it.
Changes history.
Oh,
okay. Before we completely run out of time.
Sorry, I started a whole new thought process.
Yeah, you did.
We needed to wrap up.
So before we run out of time,
okay.
We're here at this podcast. We're here at this conference, and you know, at most conferences there are vendors, and blah, 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 and you go around and you see things, and you take tchotchkes or give tchotchkes or give whatever. So, what was one of Ginger's highlights?
Oh my
today?
God, she found cat people.
Oh my gosh, what was it called? Like the cat community.
The cat community.
Podcast?
I think it was cat community.
Oh my gosh, and one of the ladies there was. A fan of Outlander, I think a book reader. I don't think she watched the show, but she did pick up, or she did mention that there was a cat in Outlander.
And I
lost it, kind of.
And that started a whole other conversation.
Oh, Summer's like, we're about to go, and she's back in.
No, she's back in. She's so fully committed.
Wherever we go,
there's
almost everywhere.
We always find people who are into Scotland, who've been to Scotland, who've planned tours themselves for Scotland.
Or like Outlander or
cat people.
Oh my gosh.
There's always someone in Ginger's tribe to find.
In my tribe.
What mm-hmm. else?
So, we're going to sign out.
And I swear to God, if any of you come back and say that this sounds way better than our setup that we normally have, I'm going to cry.
No, because this is a pretty
sweet setup.
These mics are rocking.
I'm going to go home and just look at my setup at home and be like, wow.
Well, thank you guys so much. We hope you enjoyed this. And this is just going to be plopped at the beginning of probably our next episode. And
I'm going to say,
go ahead.
The announcements this week.
Oh.
Live.
You just heard them. Okay, you guys have a great day of Outlander.
And now on to our read along. This week. Sit tight, ladies and gents. We are...
How many chapters are we talking about, Summer?
It's five. It looks like four when you look at just the numbers,
uh-huh.
but it's five.
But I know. And I was like, four. I'm like, okay, I can do that. We've done three. I think we've done four before. And then I counted and I was like, oh my gosh, it's five.
Yeah, it's five. And
oh my gosh.
And I discovered it was five as I was reading the chapter titles out loud. And I was like, dang it. All right. So we are going to begin this week's The Fiery Cross read-along with chapter 40 entitled Duncan's Secret.
So just imagine a priest presiding over a wedding and all he's got is tally-ho. Well, Duncan can't tally his ho. That's the problem.
Whoa.
I got a few for you. So if you like that one.
That was a lot. Like is the word.
It's going to be that kind of episode, you guys. It's all Lord. Up in the hose and the weenus and the...
I didn't have enough to drink before this. Go ahead.
You didn't have any drink before this.
I did not, which is what I mean. I didn't have enough.
That's not enough. Oh, you're so... Okay. By the way, and this will come out soon. This may come out after it, but did you hear that? And no, I'm not getting political. I'm just stating something that is happening. There's going to be a tariff assessed on a number of international goods. One of them is Scotch whiskey.
Yeah, I saw.
Oh, people, this real long discussion will go out just as or just after it takes effect. But if you're a whiskey fan, a Scotch fan, you know, go out and get a case.
Hurry.
Yeah. Okay, so Duncan can't tally his ho. That's the problem. So Claire makes, and the reason tally ho is all the priest has got is that he's French. Is all he speaks. He mostly only speaks French. Well, pretty much speaks French. Claire makes the priest welcome, and she shows him around. And Jamie's still gone with Duncan. Remember last chapter we ended. He ended with Duncan, right? Jamie was still gone with Duncan. In come Bree and Jem.
In come.
Meaning they go inside of the house of River Run. And it's Jem. They're both hungry. Well, excuse me. Jem is hungry. Bree's about to burst. And so they go inside to nurse him in privacy. And the wedding is set for 4 p.m. Now, we're not told what time it is right at this moment, but obviously it's not yet 4. But it's during the day, so it's probably not too far away. A little bit away, right? Bree is also tallying her hoe. She got a commission to do a painting.
Can we stop with the hoe?
No, she's doing her hoe. Her hoe is being paid to paint.
It's real abrasive.
She got a commission.
I don't know why. I'm not appreciating you tonight.
What's new, Summer?
I don't know. You're just it's real abrasive sounding.
So basically when it comes from Summer, it's not abrasive. And when it comes from me, it's wrong and abrasive.
Yes, because your mouth doesn't do those things.
Whoa, do not talk about my mouth and what it does. Claire, who had called the prospective subjects of the commissioned portrait, and this is a family who had commissioned their portraits to be painted by Brianna, Claire called this family rather vulgar and claims she's not a snob, but rather, quote, a keen observer of social nuance, unquote. So I want to keep that in mind in case Summer ever calls me a snob. Well, she does once in a while. Summer or someone ever calls me a snob. I'm going to say, nah, I'm a keen observer of social nuance.
Nope. You are a lot of things. I don't think that is one.
A snob?
A keen observer of the social whatever.
Nuance.
Yeah, sure.
Bree points out Jamie and to Claire, and Claire goes to meet him. Farquhar Campbell tells Claire that he'd wagered Jamie that Duncan would bang DaCosta that night. Now, Jamie,
I'm positive Diana didn't write that. She has used many euphemisms over the last
eight books.
I'm positive that was not one.
I don't think it was of the colloquialisms in the 70s. I don't even know if it came. Mm-hmm. Did it come in the 80s?
I mean, you're one step away from saying they're going to smash.
I don't use that. So it wouldn't come out of me. So
would it go into you?
Stop it. He wagered Jamie that Duncan would bang DaCosta that night. And Jamie, speaking of bang, wants to get it on right then. But Claire's like, yeah, no. So Duncan had told Jamie that he and DaCosta hadn't bunged. Oh, that's worse.
Dude, that's butts.
What?
That's like butts. Butt stuff. They didn't. They definitely haven't done butt stuff.
Oh, gosh. So Duncan tells Jamie they hadn't banged. Fedra tells Claire they hadn't banged. So she doesn't know about the whole background. She just knows that they haven't slept together yet. So
I'm sure she said it way more nicely than you are.
You read it. Oh, wait. Fedra?
Fedra?
Yeah.
Fedra? Mm-hmm. Yeah, banana fan of Fedra.
Claire calls Jamie a sex fiend because she's thinking, like, not just about what they just said about Duncan, but this whole, she is going on and on about, understandably, how, like, everyone there, the only topic of conversation of all the guests is the fact that did they or will they or won't they bang that night. And so she and Jamie, at least, you know, he's relaying a conversation he's been having, and it includes the bang. And she calls him a sex fiend. And Jamie asks her if she'd speak with Jocasta alone and tell her of Duncan's issues. And Claire's voice and Jamie's reaction when he asks if he likes men. Jamie's like, Christ, Astanach, what do you think? Where does your mind go, Astanach? So he basically accuses her of having a mind in the gutter. So it's tit for tat ish without this.
Well, I mean, it's a different gutter.
Correct.
And clearly he thinks her gutter was worse than his.
So step back for a second. Here's Claire accusing Jamie and all the others of having filthy minds, right? Thinking of Jocasta and Duncan. Then Claire comes out with this bomb and now Jamie accuses her of having a filthy mind. I just thought it was funny.
Well, I mean, think about it, though. That's given her and Jamie's experience with, you know, men who aren't married.
Yeah.
And, you know, without having
or men who adopt
more information. Children. No, without having more information, yeah. The last thing you would think is he broke it.
Well, we don't know if he broke it.
He broke it and it doesn't work. That's not the first thing. The first thing that you would think is it's by choice.
Yeah. So Jamie shares what he knows, and that is that Duncan had a ball accident. Now she offers to take a look. And Jamie is wide-eyed. He says, what? Quote, a look, Sasnak. The man goes puce when you inquire after the health of his bowels. He'll have an apoplexy and you go poking his privates. Unquote. So as we could understand, Duncan's worried about that. Quote.
But he's not gonna he's not worried about it. He's worried about the reaction of not umphing.
A quote. He didn't think my aunt was wanting him for his manly beauty. I, unquote.
How would he know? She can't see him. Are you okay?
I didn't even think about her being blind. Oh, nerd. My God. I can't even believe. I was funny. I didn't think. Oh, God. I'm thinking, oh, yeah, he's lost an arm. So, of course, he could understandably think that he was not like a catch. He was, you know, thinking of himself as a catch because of his beauty. But she couldn't see him at all. Okay. So as long as it was a business arrangement, Duncan was fine with this. But once he heard all the guests start talking and taking wagers, he started to worry. So Jamie and Claire lightly argue about whether or not it matters the gender of the aged person in this topic, meaning I believe Jocasta, right? Like the person being discussed or the person, the man or the woman, whoever it is. They both are hot and bothered. And he ushers her into a somewhat like, I guess, hidden area. And he goes downtown, right?
No, sure.
And he stops in the middle and he uses her own note. She says something like, you just wait. Oh, I know what it was. She's like, Jamie is like, you think, okay, outside of or beside the fact that Duncan had a ball accident and he might not be able to, or as far as he knows, can't perform. Besides that, he believes that his aunt, while, you know, still handsome, a handsome woman, like his aunt, like my aunt is in her 60s. Like she's not going to, like, you know, she's not going to be all down for that. And Claire's like, really? Let's see how it goes when I'm 100 and you're 96. Let's see who will go like, you know, all night long. And Jamie's like, huh.
God, neither of them.
I know.
96.
And so he uses her own joke against him. He says, quote, he goes downtown. He stops in the middle to bring her like to be unfair. And then he says, I'll give you the rest when I'm 96.
Oh my gosh. You know, that just makes me think of
wrinkles,
nursing homes.
Oh, summer.
And how they have like the highest rates of like STDs.
I know.
Because
you know what I think
and
of?
And you don't ever think.
When I think what? Of STD.
What? Oh, the VD polka?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. We don't need to sing that right
now. I already did before. I don't need to do it again.
Excellent. My point is that you don't think about it being a potential issue because, you know, the state of the occupants of the nursing home. But apparently
people get down.
People are down to what's the word? Down to, not down to clown. What is it? Down to, I don't remember the word. The point is there's a lot more hanky panky going on in nursing homes than people think.
I mean, you don't have a lot of other stuff to do.
Maybe. I catch up on my stories.
On your podcast. So Summer's like, nah.
I'll go get an STD before I catch up on podcasts.
Summer. Oh my God.
What?
That is a quote for this podcast. Oh, Summer. Okay, I'm tweeting that right now. Hold on.
Out of context, that's awful.
I don't care.
What's wrong with you?
It's amazing. We're recording right now from the lips of Summer Rae. Quote, I'll get an STD. You didn't say nursing home, right? You just said STD.
I said an STD.
Okay. I'll get an STD before I catch up on podcasts. Is that what you said?
Yes. But out of context, it's not funny. It's weird.
Exactly. But it's awesome. Oh, hold on a second. On podcast or on my podcast?
I said podcasts, okay. But I don't really listen to podcasts at all. So
a hashtag Outlander.
Can you say with regards to nursing homes and nothing to do?
In a follow-up tweet.
I don't know.
In a follow-up tweet. No. Okay, back to... You're too awesome. You're too awesome. That was awesome. You're funny. Own it. Okay, so blah, 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 96. And then he actually goes on and he does a little more. And then because he had used his hand, he says, quote, come to think of it, Duncan has still got the one good hand, unquote. And then he says, you might mention that to my aunt if you think it will help.
And then show her.
Oh,
so that someone can direct Duncan.
Oh, my goodness.
Right, because that was too far. And you leading the bang bus. It's like every other word out of your mouth has been bang, and I say something and it's inappropriate. And that was chapter 40. Moving on to chapter 41, entitled Music Hath Charms. And I have a feeling this chapter is going to be about the thrush.
And not the kind to get in your badge.
We're not at the nursing home anymore. Good God.
Oh my gosh, I gotta stop. Roger is here. He's having a hard time dealing with the looks that Brianna had been getting from other men. So he's outside the house, but he hears music coming from inside and thinks, oh, cool. You know, maybe there's some new songs I don't know. And he can go meet the musicians and then he can write down the songs that he learns in the book in the library on Fraser's Ridge. And he can catch up on penetrating his wife's dreams.
Wow.
That was your word. Actually, it's Dinah's word.
I was like, no.
Somebody you could break in anytime. So he continues to the house and he finds a musician. He starts talking with the fiddler, who is Irishman Seamus Hanlon. Now, Hanlon guesses that.
I can't.
What?
I can't.
Seamus Hanlon?
No, fiddler. Like every word is striking me as being inappropriate tonight. Go ahead.
See, that didn't even hit me. So Hanlon guesses that Roger is a singer. Now, one person that we don't love, another icky day, Lieutenant Wolf. Is like blindingly drunk, but still, and a raging arse nut. And he has like almost comes to fisticuffs with the cellist. And the cellist, or they both threaten each other, but Lieutenant Wolf, like, thank goodness, you know, walks away. And now Roger introduces himself to the fiddler as, he gives him his name, but he says, I'm the husband of Jamie Fraser's daughter. He's like, it's just the easiest thing to say.
It is. It is. He's not wrong. I mean, if people probably recognize Brianna, but they probably don't know her by name, but everybody knows. If he wants to get respect
for the heck
out the gate, you name drop Jamie Fraser.
Correct.
It works even in our existence.
Huh?
To name drop Jamie Fraser.
Oh, because then it brings people together?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it does. That's true.
You find your people when you mention Jamie Fraser.
So the cellist, who'd almost, you know, gotten into it with Lieutenant Wolf, says, why is Wolf here anyway? Everyone knows he'd meant it was his intent to marry Jocasta at one point. Now, as they get ready to get down to the musica, Hanlon tells Roger, quote, it may be you'll know a tune or two that's new to me, unquote. So,
I mean, he definitely does.
I mean, from everything from the 20th century. I didn't think about that either. I mean, I didn't think. I go Irish now. I didn't think of anything on any kind of deeper level by that line. I just thought it was interesting that you know, Roger didn't get to say the thing that he had thought before he entered the house. And then it was the Irishman who ended up saying it. So that was interesting.
And that was a short one, guys. But sit tight, because here comes chapter 42, entitled The Diesel Charm. Is that pronounced correctly? Diesel?
We're going to find out how that's pronounced, aren't we? Because I learned as well. Bree is nursing Jem inside Jocasta's room. And Fedra is trying to fancy up Jocasta. And Fedra is not having it because Jocasta is not letting her dress her hair very fancy. Thinking of all the people there, all the bodies, she laments having not slept. This is Bree. Laments having not slept with Roger for over a week. Like her mother, she gets to wondering where they could sneak off to for some private time. And Jocasta comes, we come to find out, has a headache.
I mean, you hear about weddings being aphrodisiacs, but this is kind of getting a little insane.
What? All the people wanting to go couple off?
All of our main characters are trying to, like, boink each other.
It's like everybody but Jem.
Well, I mean, he's getting a boob in his mouth, but he's good.
So he actually is a happy male. Oh, God.
He's gotten the most action of all of them.
That is true. Well, no. Sabrina.
The teenage witch? I don't recall her in this chapter.
She's in the next chapter. No. I meant Brianna. I don't know where that was going. So Jocasta has a headache, but she doesn't want Claire. She doesn't want Brianna to go get Claire. She doesn't want anyone to go get Claire to bring her to her. Bree, because of, I wouldn't say because of the heat, but because of, she says because of the dress is so, you know, it's new and so fancy for her. And it's, of course, as we have talked about numerous times on the show before, clothing was so expensive and hard to replace. She decided to nurse Jem in her shift only. So she had taken her gown off and her skirts and everything hung it up. So now that she's done, she's ready to get dressed. She can put most of it up on, but she needs help with lacing it up. And so she asks Jocasta to help. Jocasta, what?
She asks the blind lady to help her get dressed.
I know. Jocasta has Fedra bling. Well, it is bling, actually, but that was a pronunciation. Jocasta has Fedra bring in her black case. Inside this case, there were three rings and some more trinkets. She hands Bree a charm spelled D. The English spelling of this word is D-E-A-S-I-L. Now, I was just like Summer did. I was thinking it was diesel, right? Like, how else would I do it?
Well, I don't remember how Davina pronounced it.
I don't even know if Davina, I read it. I didn't listen to it to prep, so I don't know either. But it is an anglicization of a Scottish Gaelic word. And the word in Scottish Gaelic, I think, is D-E-S-I-L, but it's pronounced Jaisal.
Okay, I'm positive Davina didn't say that.
So she gives Bree a Jaisal charm. She wants her to put it on Jem. So I'm guessing it's like a pin, right?
Did your Irish just come back? A Jaisal charm.
Stop.
Was it lucky? Did it come in a cereal box with a little leprechaun?
No. And she wants her to pin it on him, on his skirts. Apparently he has skirts. Near the back. She says it's a charm against the fairies. Quote, keep it pinned to the lad's smock, always to the back, mind, and not born of the old folk will trouble him, unquote. Then she has Bree take a long twig from next to the fireplace, light it, and walk around the bairn three times sunwise. Now, as she does this, Jocasta chants, or says a poem, whatever, in Gaelic. Now, after she's all done, she has Brianna throw the twig into the fire. Quote, then the ween will be safe from burning, unquote. Then she urges Bree to go outside while she watches the baby. So according to Merriam-Webster, Jaishal means clockwise. According to an old custom, you can bring someone good fortune by walking around the person clockwise three times while carrying a torch or candle. In Scottish Gaelic, the word Jaishal, oh, I was wrong, it's D-E-I-S-E-I-L, is used, in Scottish Gaelic, the word Jaishal is used for the direction one walks in such a luck-bringing ritual. English speakers modify the spelling to D-E-A-S-I-L and have used the word to describe clockwise motion in a variety of rituals. And I will include the link to that entry at Merriam-Webster. And we also have... Yeah, okay, I'll get to the recipe later. Hold on.
So I thought you said, I'll get to the recipe later. I'm like, there's a recipe?
Pretty good, huh? So she leaves the baby with Jocasta, and she leaves the house, and Jamie sees her and calls her name. She goes to her father, and he's crouched over the body of a slave, sprawled atop manure, her cap over her face. She was drunk off her bouteille. And Jamie says it's his fault, part of it anyway, since he left a cup, because he's thinking like, oh my gosh, I left a half full, half empty, whatever, cup of alcohol near the trees. And the slave, they come to find out, is named Betty. And they ask, why would she have fallen asleep here? Like, if you're going to, like, collapse, you don't wander
to... Nobody passes out in a pile of manure.
You don't wait till you get to the pile of... literally, to take a nap, right? Or to pass out. Upon closer examination of the cup, Jamie believes he smells laudanum. Now, before they go look for Claire to figure something out and make sure she's okay, they definitely want to get her out of the... I mean, they're not necessarily in the middle of all the people right now, but they want to get her out of, they want to bring her inside to her quarters. So she's out of sight.
They don't want anyone else discovering her.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, of all the people there to discover her, they are the safest, right?
Oh, of course.
They're not going to get her in trouble. They're not going to, you know, try to punish her. And they're not going to tattle on her. Yeah. So, I mean, it's like they're more concerned about the why it happened and the how mm-hmm. than they are the fact that it happened.
So before they go look for Claire, Jamie and Brianna, they want her to be the slave to be safe. Jamie carries the slave to her room in the attic. And Bree helps by being lookout as he carries her. Now, as she is about to signal her father to advance, meaning to go up the staircase, I believe, or to come across the yard or whatever, Brianna sees Philip Wiley with her mother. But they have really important things to do right now. She's like, you know, I can't really worry about mom. We need to get Betty to her room. So they go, they take Betty to her bed, and Bree notes that the cup she's holding is one of Duncan's cups. Jocasta had a set of six made for Duncan as a wedding present. They were monogrammed. He's off to check. So Jamie leaves to go check out the issue about the cups and asks Bree to find Roger so he could look, quote, discreetly for bodies in the shrubbery, unquote. So whose cup was it? Well, as they talk, they decide to amend their plans. Bree will go speak to Phaedra and Jamie will go find Claire. And he warns her to tell Phaedra to say nothing unless directly asked and not to tell anyone what she's doing or what, you know, not Phaedra not to tell anyone and for Bree not to tell anyone what they're doing. They come to the conclusion that if it wasn't attempted suicide and if it wasn't an accident, then it might be intended murder. But of whom? Thus starts one of the, I think, one of the most interesting mysteries in all the books. I mean, not the most exciting, but very, very, it's entertaining. It's definitely suspenseful.
I'm like, of all the books?
No, book 8 holds that. for me. But we can't talk about it, so. Susanna M. writes, this chapter and the upcoming ones made me love Diana Gabaldon's writing even more. In this chapter starts a Miss Marple type of mystery that lasts at least 12 chapters and keeps you hanging on them. It's so cute and interesting at the same time to see Jamie and Brianna trying to figure out things with one another. They are both very perceptive, and it's funny how they explain each other their trains of thought. And she also shares a post from the Outlander fan site, Outlandish Observations, the blog, by Karen Henry. And we will absolutely link to Karen's blog post. And also, sorry. And in her post, on one of her Friday Fun Facts posts, she shares more history about the term Jaishal. So Jaishal is the English spelling of the Scottish Gaelic word Jaishal. They just have different spellings, meaning sunwise, i.e. in a circle from east to south and so on. And according to this site, which is liberty.com, that's liberty with two Y's, it's pronounced Jaishal. If Jaishal means sunwise, then it is much more literal than one might think at first. It's funny that I didn't remember this part of the story at all when I reread it. And I found it sad that Jocasta probably did all these rituals with her offspring and it didn't work in the end. But she still wants to do it for Jemmy.
That was chapter 42. Moving along to chapter 43.
I hated this chapter. Chapter 43, entitled Flirtations.
So Claire, leaving her rendezvous with Jamie, smacks into Philip Wiley. After apologizing and offering to get her a bevy, he absconds with her to his horses. Now, as he leads her, decidedly not to the area of his horses, they enter, or at least not the place she had been before, where that beautiful male stallion of his was. They enter the dark side of the stables, and she trips and hurts her ankle and stubs her toe. So he holds on to her, so she didn't fall. And then he lights a lantern and leads her to the end of that stable. And there's a horse with a new foal. It's his horse, Tessa. And then Wiley turns her compliment. So Claire is seeing this and they're both effusively complimenting the beauty of these horses. Like they both agree the horses are gorgeous. And then Wiley turns to Claire and turns her compliments for the horses to her. She's trying to get the attention back to the horses and solely the horses. She asks what they're called. And he says the mare is Tessa, and he is thinking about calling the foal La Belle Claire. And she's like, the what? And then he mounts her.
He does not.
He kisses her several times. They struggled, and he didn't stop until she called him a puppy. I'm sorry. These scenes with Claire and Wiley are like some of the most entertaining in the 8 books. They're funny. Hecka funny. You don't think?
They're humorous, but to be honest, he was so annoying. I hate Philip Wiley because he doesn't know that no means no.
Yeah.
And I don't think she could have been any more clear, and he's just consistently ignoring her in favor of his own wants and desires.
His weenus. Yeah, we get it.
Sure. And then we compile that with her barely getting away from him, right?
Yeah.
And then Jamie being a douchebag.
Oh, totes. Oh, we're going to get there. So when she's like, what the heck? What the heck? Why? How could you at all think that why would you think this would be welcomed? And he insists that she has given him every reason since they first met. She can't think of what in the heck she'd said to him.
Well, the first time they met, let's think back. Weren't they trying to sell jewelry?
They were trying. Yes. At Lily White's dinner. Yes. Before they went to Fraser's Ridge.
So when they first met, while he was always real touchy-feely without really having a buy your leave, she was actively trying to be nice to him to sell the jewelry.
Yes, true.
So,
and her boobs were out.
I don't think, right. But she took the necklace off so that he stopped looking at it in her cleavage.
Yeah, that's true.
So while she hasn't, now granted, and that's another reason why it's like, come on, Jamie.
Huh.
The first time she was, quote unquote, too nice to him was, you know, a group effort. And this one was almost completely unavoidable without making a scene.
Yeah. So he brings up the Song of Solomon, and she remembers vaguely something from one of Jocasta's party 2 or 3 years ago. He basically is telling her, you don't remember like these lines we like said to each other? And she's like, it was in like a friendly kind of back and forth, whatever. So she eventually gets out of there. She straightens up and she's cleaning herself off and runs into Jamie. And he asks, what have you been doing, Sassenach? So Jamie reports that he'd found Ninian and that he found out that there were more than 1,000 men camped near Salisbury and more joining daily. He tells her about Betty, and Jamie asks her directly what she'd been doing. Turns out one of Wiley's star-shaped beauty marks had been transferred to her face in their lovemaking. Now, in their arguing, she said it was probably as a joke that Wiley had kissed her because, quote, I'm old enough to be his mother, for God's sake, unquote. And Jamie said the worst thing he could possibly say, more like his grandmother.
Seriously.
And his immediate reaction is, what did you do to encourage him? What the heck? So,
yeah, blame the victim.
Exactly. So apparently she had been unknowingly flirting with Wiley. Not what she would consider it, but what Wiley would consider. And Jamie gives her chapter and verse of all the things. He's so tiresome here. They're having a moment, like a little scuffle. And she tries to grab his balls. He stops her. He thinks for a moment. Now, and this was not a sexy ball grab. This was a, I'm going to tear him off you, girl grab. And she thinks for a moment and then decides to hell with it. One way to gain control over the situation. Sorry, he. He thinks for a moment and then decides to hell with it. One way to gain control over the situation with everyone looking on is to make love to her himself. This saves the moment. He grabs her and kisses her, like forces it on her. And she stops biting. It shuts her up. And then the ogles and stares turn into hoops and hollers. So that's a way to cool her down and himself. I'll take it, Jamie Fraser. Anytime, doodle. And then as he's coming away from her, she smells the shit. He's been in ish. Jamie says, it's time to speak with Jocasta, please. I'll take care of Wiley later. Or he will take care of Wiley later. So what did you think about, I know how you felt about him, you know, turning the tables on her, saying, what did you do to encourage it? What did you think about how he decided to end that entire fight or turn the fight into something else?
It felt like a punishment, and I didn't appreciate it because she wasn't super excited about it. Mm-hmm. They were angry.
She was going to rip his bajangies off.
Yeah. And she wasn't, I don't think that she came away from that being like, well, everything's better now. You know, she's like, okay, moving on. But I don't think that him doing that was necessarily the tension breaker that anyone expected it would be. It definitely broke that moment so that they weren't screaming at each other and making that kind of a scene.
Yeah. It was definitely, I mean, it worked, right? I mean, it got the stares of people who might have thought there was something going on, like, as in, well, you know, he turned it from a potential situation where people thought they were having a tiff about her flirting and kissing someone else when that wasn't, you know, public knowledge yet, into a domestic spat, which it was, but a domestic spat when they were just, you know, I don't know, sex hungry, who knows, whatever.
Domestically spatting.
Yeah, exactly. Eileen P. writes, I found the entire chapter upsetting. Here we go, Summer, ready? Because society blames women for men behaving badly towards women. To top it off, women are put in this impossible position of trying to stop the unwanted attention of a man behaving badly, all while trying to be polite and well-mannered. It shouldn't have to reach a point where Claire has to kick him in the family jewels. Then to top it off, Jamie has to show he's in charge of his wife by kissing her against her will because this action will keep her reputation from being tarnished after she's been sexually assaulted. Yes, that sounds convoluted. Manhandle your wife in public. Get your wife under control. Everyone applauds you showing her who's boss. Jamie knows how angry and insulting this is to Claire. She wants, quote, Jamie and Philip Wiley to kill each other promptly and with the maximum amount of blood, unquote. I want that too. When Jamie whispers, quote, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to insult you, truly, shall I kill him and then myself, unquote, it's just not enough. How about public apologies from both Jamie and Philip Wiley for a start? A wee bit more punishment for Philip Wiley. The word eunuch keeps popping into my mind.
And that was chapter 3. We are concluding this week's The Fiery Cross read along with chapter 44, entitled, appropriately enough, Private Parts, which I feel like this entire episode has been about. Private Parts.
Claire heads in to speak with Jocasta. Now, this line is funny. Quote, I hadn't spent so much time in bemused contemplation of a penis since I was 16 or so. And here I was, preoccupied with three of the things, unquote. And for, I had to think like, wait, three? Oh, yeah, it's Duncan, Jamie, and Wiley.
But not at the same time. It wasn't that kind of a chapter.
No. What? No. It's not a foursome. Gosh. Menage a quatre.
No, that's...
That's book... I'm just kidding.
When you're that outnumbered, it's not even...
That's Mary Gentry. Mm. Or Anita Blake. Whichever one. She checks on her outer appearance in the bits of hallway mirror. So there's like this mirror that you can you only actually see parts of the mirror because it's supposed to be... It's inlaid into this painting or something or tapestry. It's supposed to be a lake. And so you have to, like, you can't stand in front of it and see your whole image. You have to, like, move yourself and, like, see it.
Can you see your whole? You paused way too long there.
Stop making it worse. It's already dirty enough.
Oh, gosh. It's private.
At the end of the day, what seems to matter to Claire is that she had, quote, incontrovertible proof that he had found me physically appealing, grandmother or not, unquote. And, quote, for all the personal implications of those male members in an excited state, it was the flaccid one that most interested me at the moment, unquote.
Which almost never happens.
That's true. She's contemplating just what injury Duncan might have had. Or what an attending surgeon might have done to him after he was injured. She thinks it's much more likely that his impotence was psychological in origin. She goes into Jocasta's room and sees that Father Leclerc was there. She was going to have to do this in front of the priest, but with his lack of English, maybe it wasn't too big of a deal. She spills the beans. It seems to settle something within Jocasta. Maybe like it answers a question she'd had or kind of puts her at ease over why something had or hadn't happened, specifically hadn't happened. And Claire wonders if knowing that Duncan has an impairment makes Jocasta feel better. She wonders if maybe Jocasta, because they hadn't lain together, that and Jocasta is a handsome woman, she wonders if this kind of makes Jocasta feel better, like, you know, gives her a reason. She wonders that if Jocasta was wondering why nothing had happened or no overtures had been made in private, that at least if she's worried about that, this could at least maybe settle her mind if she was worried. And if she wasn't worried, can help set the expectation for the evening and indeed the marriage. Father Leclerc comes up and speaks to Claire in French. Now, Jocasta doesn't speak French, but she heard him say Duncan's name. She tells Claire, don't tell the priest. It could be a marriage impediment. Like, it could get in the way. Apparently, while he doesn't speak English, he does understand, well, he speaks Latin, and so therefore understands words with Latin roots, as in scrotum.
I should do.
Claire relays the situation to Jocasta, and Leclerc asks Claire to ask Jocasta what her desire is in the matter. Now, Claire hadn't known about it being a possible impediment to marriage, but since Jocasta is beyond childbearing years, it was perhaps okay? Jocasta says yes, it is her intent to marry Duncan. Leclerc asks Claire to tell Jocasta that while it's one of the reasons for marriage, according to the church, it's not the only reason. Surprise! The priest was a ho-yo! He tallied his hoe for legit.
Are we back for this?
It's the priest with a hoe. And so he'd been married before. And Jocasta's all, yo, me thrice, bitches. Tally ho, madame.
That is exactly the last words of the chapter.
On purpose.
That is chapter 44.
We'd love to have you help us continue the conversation in our Facebook community. You can join us at outlanderpod.com/group and help support content you believe in. Support the Outlander podcast at patreon.com/outlanderpod. Thank you as always so much for listening. We look forward to our next episode. Thank you to our generous partner, Zencastr, who offers high-fidelity podcasting. Check out Zencastr and use coupon code OUTLANDER20, OUTLANDER20, for 20% off 3 months or 20% off for a year. Connect with us. Visit our website at outlanderpod.com. Find us on Facebook, facebook.com/outlanderpod. We'd love for you to join our Facebook community at outlanderpod.com/group. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at OutlanderPod.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.